Monster Movie Media presents.
Hi, this is Michelle.
And this is Jane, and together we are the Disney Dream Girls.
And you are listening to the Creepy Kingdom podcast.
Greetings and welcome to episode 30 of the Creepy Kingdom podcast, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. Coming up in this episode, I am once again joined by Adam Leonard of the Friendly Neighborhood Fanboys radio show. And of the past Creepy Kingdom episode, which was episode 23, titled Creepy Cast Member Tales, which is the most popular episode of Creepy Kingdom ever. So, of course, we had to bring him back. And we brought him back not to talk about Creepy Cast Member Tales, but we are going to be taking a look at the creepiest parts of the film, Saludos Amigos. So without any further ado, let's begin. Hello and welcome everybody once again to the creepiest film. I am joined by Adam Leonard. Hello, Adam.
Howdy, folks.
How you doing today?
I am doing wonderful, James. How about yourself?
Super, super excited. Super pumped.
Yes.
First of all, listeners, if you're unfamiliar with Adam, I rarely say this, but stop what you're doing and go back and listen to the episode that he was on before. I should know the number. Do you know the number off the top of
my head? No, I can't say that I do.
It's Creepy Cast Member Stories with Adam Leonard. And he'll tell you all about his time as a cast member and all the creepy tales of working at the Pirates of the Caribbean. If you haven't heard that, I would say stop what you're doing. I mean, I don't know how this episode's going to turn out, but I still think that that is one of our best episodes ever, so we're really glad to have you back, Adam, so thank you.
Well, I'm just honored to be here. Thank you so much, James. It's a real pleasure.
No problem. And to continue that point, so much positive feedback, and people were just so creeped out by the stories that you were told. You were inducted into the Creepy Hall of Fame, which no one else is in right now besides you, for your cut-up bandage face story.
Well, I'm glad like the worst day of my life could go to serve enjoyment for the others.
Everyone's like, that didn't listen. What's that story? The cut up bandage face story. Gotta listen and find out. And also, you are a co-host on the show, The Friendly Neighborhood Fanboys.
Yep, I sure am.
What's that show about?
Well, it's a local show based out of Eugene, Oregon, where I live. We're actually on a local radio station every Saturday, and we spend about 2 hours just talking about all things pop culture. We try to cover some, you know, geek news, comics, movies, television, video games, but then more or less, more often than not, we just wind up shooting the breeze. I think we just taped yesterday, and I think even though we were going to talk about Comic-Con, we wound up just talking about Forrest Gump for about 20 minutes. For the second show in the row, no less. Close. Like,
wow. Everyone's feeding for that Forrest Gump content in Eugene, huh?
Yeah. We are the nation's leading source for all things Forrest Gump.
Excellent.
Yeah, but you can listen to us on FNF. FNF.podomatic.com.
Okay, so is your show is in podcast form?
It is, yes.
Oh, excellent. So, all you podcast listeners, you can listen that way, or you can listen live in Eugene, Oregon. And what's the radio station it's on?
1450 All Comedy Radio.
Excellent. Oh, so it's comedy.
Yeah, we definitely do have a comic bent. All three of us, all three hosts have a background in comedy and theater. And so that, you know, basically the station wanted to have like some different stuff other than just straight comedy. And so they came up with the idea that they wanted to get some kind of pop culture show on there. So they picked us because, you know, we can talk geek stuff, but we're also occasionally funny.
All right. Occasionally. Excellent. All right. So let's hop to it. We have been going film by film, number by number, chronologically through all the films released by the Walt Disney Company, which may or may not continue, as we were discussing. But, you know, we're soldiering on, and we are going to be taking a look at the film Saludos Amigos.
I.
Carnival in Rio. Out of these spectacular scenes, the gay, colorful rhythms of Brazil at Mardi Gras time, the pulse-pounding sweep of the Pampas, the exotic beauty of Peru, Argentina, Brazil. Out of the romantic laughter of dashing gauchos and carefree dancers comes the inspiration for Walt Disney's glorious new musical feature, Saludos Amigos.
Beat it, wake up and greet it with a gay song.
Introducing you to the dancing llamas of Peru. And Pedro, the baby airplane who has to fly the mail all by himself because his papa has a car. Bringing you Goofy in a new setting. And Donald, trying his best to learn that tantalizing South American dance, the samba, from his Brazilian friend, Joe Carioca, to the tempo of that top hit tune, Brazil.
So we're going to be taking a look at all of the creepiest parts of the 1942 film,
Saludos Amigos.
Okay. So the brief synopsis of this film on IMDb says, Disney animators tour South America and present four animated shorts inspired by their film. Spoiler alert. I guess not. That's a pretty accurate synopsis of this film, huh?
Yeah, I would say so. I think the most terrifying thing about this is when I found out that Disney was doing a cultural film, because a lot of times when Disney tries to do cultural, they kind of, they kind of fall off the mark a little bit.
Well, they actually went to the source. You know, usually I guess it's their own interpretation of from afar, but they actually went to the source apparently to be inspired.
Yeah, I was surprised. It was not. Really offensive at all, and that was kind of what I was afraid of. But yeah, they seem to actually do a pretty good job of displaying these different cultures.
Right, with the track record of even the films that we've done so far on the show.
Yeah, that's why I was worried.
I could see why you would think that, but this is almost surprisingly and almost. I guess surprisingly, I'm going to say forced. But I wouldn't say forced. I don't know. I have to put on that mindset. Like, okay, we're 1940s movie. You know, get ready for what comes. But there was nothing offensive about this. But let's get into it. I'm going to start by basically just going to go through each segment. But I'm not going to go through the film segments. I just want to talk about that up front. So I'm just going to bring that up now. So, all right. So, as we mentioned before, there's four different segments between there. There's live action segments, which is supposedly research that the animators are doing. So, I'm not going to talk about all the live action segments. I can't even talk. I'm not going to talk about all the live action segments separately. So, I just want to kind of put it out there right now, and say, do you have anything to say about any of these live action segments?
I probably think that the creepiest part about them is probably those poor villagers wondering why, like, all these men in suits were sitting there, like, drawing them all the time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, especially like the first segment, I mean, they're just fairly humble villagers going about their daily lives. It just must have been pretty weird to see all these, like, you know, Americanos wandering around and, like, sketching them.
Yeah, who knows what exactly was going on there. I will say that I found these parts of the film extremely boring.
Yeah, that's fair.
And rather uninteresting, and found myself zoning out many times. The narrator, I guess I should say who that is, Fred Shields, I don't know who that is. He sounds familiar. I've heard him in other stuff around this era.
Mm-hmm.
His voice is just, it's what I need to put on to fall asleep. It really is really just so boring. And not only is it boring, it sounds kind of condescending. This whole tone is condescending. Even though he's talking about positive stuff, I guess, he just has this kind of condescending tone. I don't know if you picked up on that or if you thought that.
he thinks we're all a little dumb, so he's breaking it down for us real simple, like...
Yeah, it's a little too much for me. So I didn't really have too much to say about that. I will say that there was one point that I saw Walt in there briefly. He wasn't in this very much, and I kept rewinding it because I'm like, is that really him? Not that, I don't know, was it him? I'm not even sure. Did you see him in here, or am I just imagining this?
No, I'm pretty sure I did, because I was actually watching it with my roommate, and at one point I'm like, I think that's Walt Disney. I'm sure I saw him there. At least, if not him, somebody looked very, very much like. I'm pretty sure it was Walt Disney.
At least you got my back. It was somebody I looked like. But the reason that really caught my eye, not that I was shocked to see him in the movie, but is that I thought I saw him holding a cigarette, and I rewinded it like three times, and it seems like there's something in his hand, but it might be a piece of chalk or a drawing utensil. And the reason that that was shocking to me is that Walt went out of his way to not be photographed or shown or have anyone see him smoking. So I was like, is he smoking? Like, not only, like, in the movie, like not even just a candid shot. Like, you know, he could have cut that out pretty easily. He's usually has pretty explicit attention to detail.
Right. You
know? So I came to the conclusion that he wasn't smoking. So that's just, you know, because I watched it again. I'm like, I don't know. There's no cigarette smoke coming from there. He's holding something in his hand, but I don't know.
Because searching my database, it did definitely look like a cigarette now that I think about it. Because I've got that little moment caught in my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they caught him accidentally, and then later some poor cameraman was like put to death over it or something like that. But, like, you know, the Mickey Mouse Death Squad.
Yeah. You probably got sent into the forest and Snow White to be eaten by trees. But or in the dungeon where this, whatever. Anyways, moving on. So we both, I don't know if you're smoking or not, who knows, but that was probably the most interesting part of the live action to me.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely nothing creepy. So
I was okay. I, the only thing that I was kind of creeped out by originally, for whatever reason, and this is kind of dumb, but there's like a moment where you see all these haystacks and they just start like randomly moving, and it looks like they've got little feet. And that was kind of scary for a second until I figured out it was actually just a bunch of donkeys.
Right. I almost wrote that down. I'm really glad you brought that up. I forgot about that because it actually was so dumb that I was like, I'm not even going to write this down, because first you do see haystacks walking around, and the narrator actually says, and then the haystacks walk around. And I'm like, okay. And then, you know, and then the next shot, you see the other side of it, and it's, you know, a donkey with hay on its back. And you're like, it's a donkey.
And I guess right after that, I also have a note that just says llama herd. And I think I was also slightly scared by, like, the mass of, like, llamas that were just, like, wandering around town. Because, I don't know, I would be a little bit worried to be around that many wild animals.
Yeah, that's just not our culture. We do, you know, like, we have squirrels around, not llamas.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of a difference between a squirrel and a llama. Though, I would be terrified if I saw, like, 20 squirrels, like, just walking around down the street, too. Because I don't think they're up to any good.
No, usually not. Definitely not. Squirrels are really annoying. I don't know. My old house, they just would just constantly be running on the roof all day, jumping from house to house, you know, and it's getting a little jarring sometimes. But anyways, yeah. Like, who's on my roof? All right, so that's what we think about the live action part. So we got four shorts here. And let's get into it here. Our first short is called Lake Titicaca.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, in this segment, American tourist Donald Duck visits Lake Titicaca and meets some of its locals, including a llama.
Yes.
All right, so, you know, we're going to start off pretty strong here.
Oh, boy.
And I mean that in complete sarcasm, because, like, I really got nothing for this one, really. It was like it was amusing, you know, for sure. But I didn't think there was anything really creepy about it. What do you think?
Not really. I mean, like, Donald Duck does almost fall to his death. I got to be real honest. Like, when I watched this, me and my roommate just kind of, like, started just Googling whether or not it was possible to control llamas with flutes. Because that was like, the biggest thing that I took from them. Like, is that real? Is that a thing? Or is, like, Disney just, like, you know, it's just, like, making this up?
So, what was the answer to that?
I could find no evidence that suggests you can control a llama with a flute.
Well, I think we need to do more research on that. Because I took everything in this film to be very factual.
Yes.
You know, which, actually, we'll get into why this film was made a little bit later. Because that's the question might be thinking, like, what is this about? It's so random of an idea. But all right, yeah, so that's that. And, you know, we can just move on from that one, because I got nothing else to say.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine by me.
All right, so now our next short is entitled Pedro. Pedro involves the title character, a small airplane from Chile, engaging in its first flight to pick up mail from Mendoza, with disastrous results occurring near, I can't pronounce these places, a Congarua, I don't know, I'm not even, whatever, another place in South America, while chasing a vulture on the way back. And to make matters worse, Pedro gets caught in a terrible storm. But when he makes it back to the airfield safe and sound with mail, it is just a postcard. So that's what happens there. And I have one thing to point out that's not necessarily creepy, but the first thing I thought when this started was like, wow, this is exactly where Disney got the idea to make the movie Planes from.
Yeah, no kidding. That was like, I think we even said something about that. We were like, well, you know, this is probably, I guess it's like Planes from the 1940s.
I mean, it's like almost the same character design. Like, obviously Planes is a playoff of Cars, you know, it's supposed to be set from the same world or something like that. But this is literally the same thing. I haven't seen Planes or the new one, but just from seeing the trailer and the commercials, like, the character design looks the same to me.
Right.
Like, it's too much of a coincidence. It's not like all the people that decided to do Planes were like, hey, that's so weird, I made this movie, and I was watching this old movie, and it had the same thing in it. What a coincidence. You know, somebody along the way was like, all right, you know, this is like Pedro, but...
Well, you know, I'd have to, like, speculate. I mean, I can't say for sure, but I would think that if you're in that kind of position where, like, you're working for Pixar, or you're working for Disney, something like that, I would imagine you probably have seen all of these films, because, you know, I certainly know if I was in their position,
right,
the first thing is you'd know your history.
Yeah, Well, that's something that you would like to think happens, but who knows?
Yeah, maybe I'm being like a little optimistic. I don't know.
So, but anyways, so yeah, finally, I think I don't know if I wrote down the time. I think it was 15 minutes, maybe. I think it was from memory. But finally, something kind of creepy happens. And with that, actually, something interesting happens in this whole film, which is when he faces the storm. I thought that that was kind of a cool part.
Yeah.
Typically, storms in films, particularly Disney films, are always scary and creepy. They're not just mild. You know? Mm. Little storms.
Yeah, they're kind of like these nightmares.
He's flying through the rain, and then he comes across this mountain, which is like has this really like a skull face in the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think of this part with the storm and the scary mountain?
Dude, that mountain was kind of terrifying. It was just kind of like evil looking and kind of looming, and then it's got like that cloud with all the lightning bolts coming out of it. I think that was like the first like full on, like, this is like a little disturbing part of the entire thing.
Yeah, no, that, and it's so weird, especially with the tone of most of all of the rest of this,
right?
That they decided to just go, so dark right there. But so that's, we're gonna give it, I'm gonna give that two creepy points, because I was longing so for something like that to happen. I mean, we got the storm and the mountain, so that's two different things, right? So it's not.
Yeah, it's like a twofer right there.
Right. So as the story goes on, he's delivering the mail, or whatever, and then he takes a long time to come back, and then it cuts back to his parents, and for like 10 seconds, they're sitting there, like, and their narrator's like, and his parents were sad. They thought that he had died, and they're like mourning his death, and we just saw him like battle the storm to give him this mail. And I gave that one another creepy point too. It was very short lived, but it got pretty dark right there. Like, they think that their plain son was dead.
Well, that whole concept was kind of like messed up too, because I mean, like, that plane was like an elementary school. It was like probably like maybe an 8-year-old plane,
right?
And it's like if like your dad, like the steel worker, gets sick, you don't go send the 8-year-old to like the steel foundry in his place.
Yeah, that's a pretty good analogy there, especially with no practice. You're just like, well, I'm sick. We got to get this mail out, bro. So hop to
it. Exactly. It's like child cruelty.
There's no child labor laws for planes, apparently.
Not in South America, anyways.
No, not in South America, no. It's supposed to be a positive look at South America. Let's. Jeez. So, yeah, that's Pedro there. Do you have any other notes on Pedro?
I do have like a couple of things that kind of stood out to me. First of all, I was like really creeped out when he was at school and they tried to present the idea that planes have skeleton, like natural skeletons, and they had the plane anatomy, and it was like some kind of HIR or Geiger like looking plane skeleton. And that was kind of creepy.
Really? Why do I not remember that?
Yeah, it's basically in the shape of a plane, but it's bones. And like they were trying to like insinuate that like planes have like fleshy like organs and anatomy and stuff. And
oh no, I do remember that now. Yeah, no, we gotta get a shot of that or still of that. And put out there.
So I had that, and then I also found it a little creepy that like the reason the mom couldn't go is because she had like high oil pressure, and so they're basically implying that like the mom had like some kind of like heart disease, and so that was kind of creepy.
No, this is why I had you on there. You really, really, really dug in here deep, man. Because I was pretty much taking everything at face value for this one. That's a good one. I didn't think about that. The high oil pressure.
And also there was they mentioned like a Christ statue at one point when he's flying over, but it doesn't look like a statue. It just like kind of looks like there's this really creepy grave, like lonely grave on the mountain. That was kind of a little creepy.
Was that supposed to be like that famous statue in South America?
No, but that's over Rio de Janeiro, I think.
Okay.
But it was just weird. Yeah, they just they mentioned there was like this weird Christ statue that's I guess somebody built high up in the mountains, but it just looked like a cross, so it just kind of looked like somebody was like buried up on the mountain. Lastly, I also like the fact that they risk this poor, poor 8-year-old plane nearly died. Also, that like one postcard could be delivered over the mountains.
Because planes are slaves.
Planes are slaves to their human masters.
You will deliver this postcard or die trying. let's get this a conspiracy theory on that one there.
Yeah.
Oh, Pedro. I was gonna say, there's not a character in the Planes movie named Pedro, is there?
I can proudly say that I have not seen the Planes movie, and I don't know if I ever really intend to see the Planes movie.
Well, I will eventually, since I'm watching all the movies. Yeah, that's a long time from now. I might actually have children by the time I catch up to that one. So that would be something.
Yeah, like James Carter the Fourth about to pick up.
I'll have him do it. I'm not going to watch it. So I guess that's all we really got to say about the Pedro segment. Correct?
Yes, I think I've exhausted everything I could say about our plane servants.
Excellent. So now we're moving on to El Gucho Goofy. And what does that mean? Do you know?
That's a gaucho?
Yeah.
I'm looking. No.
Well, the something goofy, the buffoon. No, I think that's something positive. I just insulted a bunch of people.
Well, I think it was this gaucho goofy, right? And I think gaucho is basically the South American cowboy.
Yes. Correct.
Yeah.
So that's not a buffoon.
No.
I take it back. The buffoon part of the statement is goofy in the title.
Yes. Goofy as a South American cowboy.
Yes. Alrighty. In this segment, American cowboy Goofy gets taken mysteriously to the Argentine Pampas. Pampas? I don't know. To learn the ways of the native gaucho. The segment was later edited. Well, I'll get to that later, actually. No, that's a trivia fact. How it was changed. Anyway, so yeah, he starts off, Goofy's a cowboy in Texas. I remember when it first started, they show him in Texas, and before I started going, my first thought was, wait, does this have nothing to do with South America? I thought they, just threw a random cartoon in there, which they did several times in The Reluctant Dragon. Mm-hmm. I thought they were pulling another one of those. But no. He gets mysteriously taken because the narrator says it. I really wish they... I don't know. What do you think of this narrator? Is it just me, or I don't know? You get sick of him at this point.
He's kind of sadistic. He's like just kind of putting all these characters through all kinds of, all kinds of bad stuff. I mean, when he was talking about the plane dying, he was just like, "Oh, that plane's dead. That is sure sad." Like almost smugly.
Yes.
Like, "Oh, that poor plane. It died."
Yeah, no, definitely. So I'm glad I'm not alone on that. So, but it's just, he just pretty much narrates. He narrates over all of the live action stuff. And there's no actual audio from that. And then barely the characters talk. He's just, I feel like, there comes a point, in film, it says you're supposed to show him and not say it. Mm-hmm. I feel like you should give us a break a little bit from your constant drone smugness. But, Anywho, so I didn't have anything creepy for this part. I have one note down here, and there's a part where Goofy starts singing.
Mm-hmm.
And he sounds like he's a beautiful... voice, and I'm sitting there, and I'm literally writing notes like you gotta be kidding me, dude. There's no way that's Goofy's singing voice. like you're really not trying to. And he's going for like a while there. Like it seemed like a while, like at least 30 seconds, right? It wasn't enough for you to concentrate on the song, And so I write all this stuff down, and then finally the it pans to the right, and there's a record player right there. And obviously he was lip syncing, and I got an honest laugh out of that. I was like, all right, that was a good one. You got me, because I was thinking like, there's no way that is how Goofy's singing voice would sound. I mean, I've heard him sing like, "Oh my darling, oh my darling," you know? And it was such a beautiful, smooth voice that was singing. So that wasn't creepy, but it genuinely made me laugh. So I had to make note of that. So what do you got for this part?
Well, first of all, like, this is like, I don't know if it's creepy, but it was just like, just kind of shocking, like just a reminder of like, oh yeah, I'm watching something from the 40s. The fact that Goofy was like smoking when they first showed him.
Oh yes, that's what we're gonna bring that up later. Yes, that actually in the cut that I watched, he wasn't smoking.
Oh yeah, it was like definitely in like the version I watched. Yeah, he had like a cigarette. When they first showed him, I'm like, oh wow, this is definitely the 1940s, isn't it? So I mean, other than that, like the only thing I had is, like I said, I did find towards the end, particularly Goofy's relationship with his horse, a little creepy because there was something going on there.
Elaborate a little there.
All of a sudden, like when he was singing, like, you know, like it's like all of a sudden, like the horse is dressed up like a female and it's sitting there like gazing at him lovingly.
Oh yeah, because he sounds like a smooth, like he's singing romantically.
And then eventually the horse is like full on. I mean, I guess it could be a female horse. That's possible. Well, it wasn't though. Because really, when you think about it, earlier on the horse talked and it was like a male voice. But then, basically at the end, like the horse is like cross dressing and dancing with Goofy, and you know, I'm just saying that the South American cowboy lives a very lonely life on the plain. Sometimes maybe the love of the horse is the only thing that they know in their life. So I'll leave it at that, so that, you know, we can kind of keep this family friendly.
Yeah, but I'll family friendly it up a little bit here. I think maybe it was more like, you know, in cartoons when they like they're on like a desert island and they're really hungry and they start seeing people turn into like ham and like think maybe it was that, where he was so lonely for companionship he saw his horse start looking like a woman. That's kind of what.
Okay. I think that's probably the safest course of action to go with. So,
wow. Sometimes you stop and think, you're like, what are we talking about? Like, but then you think, like, this is in the movie. Like, these early films are unbelievable. What they put in there, man, they really are. It's just like,
and the narrator keeps on like finding opportunity to strip Goofy too. That was also kind of creepy.
To do what?
Strip Goofy, like, you know, like shoot him over to South America, and also all of his clothes fly off. And I think something like that happens later too.
Yeah, the narrator likes to be God. He's like, and then he had no clothes. Whoop.
Yeah, he's just like that narrator. Yeah, it's just like a malevolent God just like toying like the life of these poor animated figures.
All right, so now it's on to our last segment. And let me butcher the name of this one. Let's see, Aquilia, Brazil, Aquilia. Man, Spanish speaking people are just yelling at me right now. I don't know, but it essentially translates to watercolor of Brazil. So whatever word means watercolor, that's the one I'm trying to say. So. Anyways, it's the finale of the film, which involves a brand new character, Jose from Rio de Janeiro. Now, Jose, this is the first appearance of him. He does show up again in the Three Caballeros, a future film. All right, so for you Parks fans, Jose is actually in the Grand Fiesta Tour starring the Three Caballeros in the Mexican Pavilion in Epcot Center at Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida. I feel like every time I mention attraction, I have to say exactly where it is, just so everybody's on the same page.
Just for that one person's like, Epcot, where's that?
Yeah. It's like, let me just spell it out for everybody.
Take him by the hand, lead him to the front gate.
Yeah, you know, not everyone knows everything here. We have a lot of listeners from all walks of life. Some are Walt Disney World fans, some are Disneyland fans.
Sure, absolutely.
Some are serial killers. I don't know where everyone's from.
There's just some future Jeffrey Dahmer in a basement right now listening to Creepy Kingdom Cub.
He's like, where's the Grand Fiesta Tour? Someone tell me or I'll kill someone.
Yeah, like he, if he had gotten to Epcot that fateful day, he would have turned away from his life of serial killing. But since you didn't tell him where it was at, he decided to turn something into a lampshade instead.
Right, so... Yeah, I like how we're really forcing this episode to be creepy, but...
Yeah.
Gotta get Jeffrey Dahmer references in there. All right, on to this segment that I can't pronounce. This final cartoon short.
The Rio de Janeiro segment.
Yes. Do you know how to pronounce this, or am I...
No, sir.
All right. It's like Aquarela. Aquarela do Brazil. I'll just go with the American way to say this.
Okay, that's fine.
Aquarela. It's Aquarela, ain't it? Aquarela do Brazil. All right, whatever. So, yeah. So, what did I say here? Oh, it introduces Jose, and it's showing Donald Duck around South America and having a drink of... Oh, this is another one I can't pronounce. It's like cachaca. This is embarrassing. Hey, this isn't the Spanish-speaking creepy podcast, all right? I know about creepy Disney stuff. I don't speak Spanish, so I'm trying over here. You know, I'm trying. I try to be professional on here, and I do my homework, but... Pronouncing Spanish words is not something I do very well.
I should have thought to do this, but did you actually look up what is it that he's drinking? Because I assumed it was booze of some sort, but...
Let's see. Still can't pronounce it, but it is a distilled spirit made from sugarcane juice, also known as another word I can't pronounce. Let's see. It is the most popular distilled alcoholic beverage in Brazil.
Hmm.
So it's kind of their it's like their moonshine looks like to me.
All right,
I'll give it that. So he's drinking that thing and introducing him to the samba, to the tunes of Brazil and Tico Tico no Fuba. I got that one right.
Nailed it.
So yeah, the segment starts off is kind of like. It's like an artist painting watercolor all around Donald. So I kind of got mixed feelings about those type of like, here's our character, and we're just showing that this is fake because we're pretending that we're painting their environments.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of cool, but then it's just like, I like to believe these characters exist in their own world, you know, not that they're... You know, pretend animations. I mean, that's just me. You know.
Yeah, and like, haven't they done that with Donald before? Like, I'm not like a super historian, but
well, that's
like,
in Reluctant Dragon. That's literally a segment in Reluctant Dragon, which the plot of that film is to show how they make cartoons. So I kind of mm-hmm. gave him a little leeway with that. But in this one, I didn't. I felt like they, you know, it was pretty unnecessary.
Well, once again, it's kind of like it kind of recurs on that theme we've been talking about. It kind of keeps on playing up that whole thing that these poor characters are like. Living this really weird existential existence in which some like weird god kind of rules over them and changes all
right,
around
right,
them.
Right, right, right. So yeah, that's a little weird. yeah, and then they got the drink. Really, whatever this drink is that I forget exactly what Donald thought it was, but he didn't really think it was going to be anything that was going to have any effect on him.
He called it Sody Pop, I believe.
Sody Pop, yes, thank you. He thought he was going to be drinking Sody Pop. Which, by the way, I don't know. I just that's one really saving grace for me. This whole film is just I love listening to Donald Duck talk. Really, that's
yeah.
Really can't get enough of that. You know why? Because you can always. Pretend that he's saying profanity because you could hear it in there. I hear it.
Yeah.
You know, it may or may not be there, but I hear it. So
it's implied. It's yeah. Definitely implied with Donald Duck.
Yeah. So, you know, I just want to give take a moment, a little Donald Duck appreciation here. You know, he's always, you know, he's always second fiddle and he's always outraged and incoherent. He's pretty cool, yeah. Man.
He's had a hard life. Donald Duck needs a little love.
So, but he goes to drink some of this Sody Pop, and it's this, you know, Brazilian moonshine, as we're calling it now. And his reaction is he breathes fire.
Yeah.
So that's something. So, other than that, I wouldn't say that it was that was the only thing really creepy in this part. You know, the songs, you know, after a while, you're like, all right, I get it. You know, they're 1940s South American style songs, you know. But that pretty much seems to be, like, at the end of this cartoon, really just about the songs, I thought.
I did kind of feel like, I have this note that says Fever Dream of Brazil, and I kind of felt like the ending part of that segment is that, like, Donald just gets, like, really, really drunk and just winds up having this, like, seedy adventure in, like, the nightclubs of Brazil. And
wow, yeah, that's a very interesting take on the end of the segment.
Like Rio de Janeiro has him now, and he'll never be seen again.
Well, I'm going to go with your interpretation. That's a lot more interesting than yeah, what was going on.
Because it gets all like shadowy and silhouette-y and stuff, and it was just kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah, it does get pretty surreal. I will say that. So yeah, I'll give it up for that. Yeah, he's just he's hallucinating. And I just, if they only would cut to him, like, in the middle of it, just real quick, in a corner, drooling, that would have really brought it all over. With, like, his eyes, like with, like, spirals in them.
Yeah. And
so Ed Pager is sitting there going, like, talking, like, Donald, are you there, Donald? You know. That really would have been, they missed that. They probably cut that out, but I'm sure that was an original script, right?
Yeah, and it was just, once again, very 1940s. Like, you know, I once again was kind of shocked, and I had to remember it was the 1940s, the fact that they actually depicted Donald Duck getting, like, drunk and stuff. Which is kind of weird, because they, like, in those movies back then, and I think you've probably discussed this before, they have this real kind of, like, they have alcohol in those movies a lot, but it's pretty much uniformly always depicted as bad.
Yes, that's true, which is odd, because I'm sure that all the people making it were, if not alcoholics, borderline alcoholics.
Yeah, I'm sure that's probably true.
So,
well, this is, you know, they gotta make sure the kids aren't getting the wrong impression. Smoking's fine, just don't drink.
Oh, of course. We learned that in Pinocchio. So, then just out of nowhere, it's over. Like, I don't know if you caught that for you. I was just like, oh, this is over.
Yeah, pretty much. I was like, oh, well, that was 40 minutes.
Yeah. It was like, whoa. I guess, you know, it's always hard to get used to that with since the credits are in the beginning of the movie. You know, there was just no, like, there's no ending to it. It seemed like it just, like, abruptly cut off, and then it was like, the end. And, like, all right, whew. The end. Thank you.
It was, like, definitely very odd. It's like a movie that could not, like, exist today, because it felt like it didn't really have any aim. It was just like, huh, here's some stuff. Here's some stuff about South America, and we're done.
Yeah, it was just, literally, it was a bunch of shorts, but that were loosely tied together. I mean, this really goes back to a time when I guess people just didn't really have that many entertainment options.
Mm-hmm.
But they're. It was released between amazing Disney films, so it's like there had to be like a standard,
right?
You know, right? I mean, I don't know.
Well, I get it, because I think that this type of film definitely speaks to, like, you know, one of, I think, Disney's big priorities, which is, like, you know, kind of like the education. You know, education and kind of exploring these different cultures and countries and stuff. And so, I mean, I could see why they did it. But, yeah, it's just very weird, because it just feels very loosely thrown together. You think they could have at least done maybe one more, like, live-action segment at the end with them, like, leaving South America or something to kind of put, a neat bow on it, maybe.
Right, just be like, all right, and then we did it, the end. You know? Mm-hmm. No, they were like, well, that's good enough. Let's put this out. So.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get into theaters.
Let's get this out there. All right. So, what are your thoughts overall?
I found it overall. I found it pretty enjoyable. Not very creepy, other than perhaps Pedro the Plane's poor existence. you know, luckily it was 40 minutes, so it was like nothing to get through. So. It's kind of fun, and I, you know, something I will compliment this movie on is that it is really something to be said how well Disney's animation holds up.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, this film was made like, gosh, like 74 years ago, thereabouts. But you wouldn't know it looking at the animation.
Right. I mean, it doesn't look modern day, but I mean, it could have been made in the late 60s, in all honesty.
Mm.
I mean,
yeah, it didn't feel dated, I guess, to me.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, it just has that like early Disney feel, basically, which is a huge chunk of time.
Right.
So, but you know, like for example, though, it did seem dated to me because, you know, in older films from that time period in the 50s and actually moving into the 60s, you know, they didn't record the audio on set when they were doing films because they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So they would, or they would, but you know, it wouldn't be what you're seeing. They'd have to overdub it or they'd do it again, you know. That's because the cameras were too loud. So whenever I watch an old film and there's no, you don't hear anyone talking. Well, first when you hear someone talking, I always like just stare at their lips, wait for it to go out of sync because I know it's not the real. But when there's, especially when no one else is talking, then it just shows they're like, oh, it takes me out of it. So to me, that does date it actually. That all the live action parts, you never heard anyone talking or you never heard any sound from there at all. It was all just narration with the music. And it seemed like there was a lot of interesting sounds going on in a lot of those shots of the villagers. And
right.
That would have been great to hear, but a little too foreign for American audiences to hear actual Brazilian sounds, I guess.
Well, and that's interesting because that's something I did not know. So that's interesting because I didn't know that that's how they used to do that back then. So that's cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not I don't want to ruin older movies for you, but yeah, no, they're... Like the top notch films like are really good with that. You won't see, like, you know, it won't be out of sync. But there's a lot of films, especially bad B hard movies, where it's awful lot, you know.
Right.
My thoughts on this were, I pretty much didn't like it. I'll give it like I sort of liked parts of it. I thought the live action segments were dreadful and I just thought they were extremely boring in their presentation, and I told you I can't stand that guy, the narrator's voice. It didn't really seem, it's like they're saying we flew out to get inspiration to make cartoons, and it's like, why?
Yeah.
You could have gone anywhere. Like, and so that wasn't interesting enough. You know, like, it's cool seeing, you know, a different culture, but just the way it was being presented was just like, it was just so boring, you know, just with the dumb commentary that the guy was saying about what's happening, like talking down to you and, you know, and this haze stack is walking away, you know, like.
Do you think that maybe, like at the heart of it, let's say that Walt really just wanted to take a vacation in South America, but he wanted to be able to, like, write it off for business purposes. So he's like, I know, we'll just, like, we'll make some cartoons while we're there. And so this is a business trip.
That's a good theory, but I do know why he was there, which I'll get into in the trivia. I'm just saying that as far as the film is concerned, there seems to be no point.
Mm.
You know, like, it's just like, here we are, you know, and here's what we're doing.
Yeah.
You're like, okay. And it's just so long. Like, I imagine even if you're a kid at the time, you're getting bored because you obviously want to see the cartoons, you know?
Right.
But anyways, I think the Goofy segment was probably my favorite. You know, I thought that was the most amusing. I don't know. I feel like I've watched this now twice for the show, and I feel like I'm good for the rest of my life. I feel like I really got everything I needed out of this. So, I mean, I'm just like, I'm going to give it like it was okay, you know. I don't know. So I liked it a little less than you did. But the animation looks good. If you're, you know, you're a completist, you got to watch it anyway, so
right.
Might as well do it. So, without any further ado, let's get into the creepy trivia. It's not too creepy, but it's trivia. So, anyways. So, this film was made as part of a way to get goodwill between South America and America during the Second World War. So, that's why Walt Disney went to South America. And there's a documentary, which I haven't seen, so I can't really speak on it, and I'm sure that but it will definitely elaborate on this topic called Walt and El Grupo. It was made by Walt Disney, so it's there. It's not an unauthorized documentary, so take it for what you will. But at least it'll explain more about what was going on here and why they went and did this, as well as the Three Caballeros. And this entire film, quote-unquote, film, because it's so short, is actually completely a bonus feature on the DVD for Walt and El Grupo. So it's kind of all tied together. So I guess, you know, I'm not going to get into that documentary. It was made not that long ago. I think it came out in 2011, so it's a pretty, it's a newer documentary, yeah. So I believe it's on Netflix. If it's not, I'm sure you can find it somewhere.
I'll have to check that out.
So, at 42 minutes, this is the shortest Disney feature to date. Yeah, no kidding. 40, still a little long for me, but anyways. Believe it or not, this film was nominated for 3 Academy Awards the year, 1943.
Wow.
For Best Score, Best Original Song, and Best Sound Recording. I was like, wow. I didn't think this was an Academy Award contender.
Well, was it the Brazil song that got nominated for Best Song?
That is a good question. Oh, no, it's the Saludos Amigos.
Really? Okay. All right.
Yep. People love that. And I think a lot of people, I've heard that song that make its rounds even before I even knew what the movie was. So I guess people. That also will say too in my research here. This film was very well received at the time. I keep saying why would people want to watch this? People really enjoyed this. So take that for what you will. So to bring back something up that you were bringing up before, this segment El Gucho Goofy was edited before being released on DVD. So I watched it on DVD. You said you watched it on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, in the original film, just before Goofy is whisked off to South America, he's a cowboy sitting on his horse. He lights a cigarette and takes one puff before being yanked into the air. Because of the smoking controversy, Disney deleted this small section. So yeah, whatever version you're watching, it wasn't edited out of, because you saw it, right?
Yeah, he definitely had a cigarette in his mouth, I'm sure of that.
Interesting. The whole smoking thing is so weird, because it's like, I don't even know why they would have that in there, especially since Walt was so adamant against being seen smoking at the time. I don't know. I'm looking for logic when there probably isn't any. So but I'm sure I didn't see this, so I don't know, but I'm sure it was pretty jarring when you were sitting there watching it, going like, oh, Goofy smoking. Okay.
Well, I suppose he's a cowboy, though, so maybe it's like, that kind of goes with the classic American image of the cowboy, so maybe that's why.
The Marlboro man.
Yeah.
Marlboro. Can't say that word either. Anyways. And the last piece of trivia I'm pretty excited about is one that you brought to the table, which is that Pedro actually appears in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And as we've mentioned on a few of the other more recent creepiest films that we've done, what comes to mind is The Reluctant Dragon. There's Fantasia. And, I think Dumbo as well.
Yeah, Dumbo's definitely in there.
Yeah, and so all of these characters make cameo appearances in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which is supposed to take place during this time period. So this is just that attention to detail. This is why we love Disney, man. Because they're just like, the people that decided to put all these characters together, they were like, this film takes place in this time period, so those characters exist at this time. I think, and not to go on a Who Framed Roger Rabbit rant, but I think there's only one or two characters that are in the film that did not exist before the time period, because they're iconic. I don't remember what those are, but so they were like, whatever, let's put them in there because they need to be in there. But, oh man, it just really makes you do it. It's funny because, we're going in chronological order and Who Framed Roger Rabbit is so far down the line, but it is technically not a Disney film because it was not released under the Disney banner.
It's Touchstone, right?
Touchstone. That's when Disney was scared to put edgy, scary films under the Disney banner. Because they also put out Nightmare Before Christmas under the Touchstone banner as
right,
well.
Right.
I could talk about that sooner than later because that is actually one of my all-time favorite movies, and I love that Pedro was in there. You know, that makes me even more excited about this film. As soon as you told me that, I my excitement for this film just went from to wow, that's so cool because Pedro was in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. That means Who Framed Roger Rabbit is real. It's a documentary.
Yes, because that's exactly how filmy cartoons was back in the 1940s.
Yes. Despite what was said in The Reluctant Dragon, that's how it was. And that's what I want to believe. And you can't convince me otherwise. Oh, man. I don't even think I could do one episode of Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I feel like I could do like a series of episodes. I have so much to say about it. But anyways, that's going to do it. For this kit and caboodle here. So, Adam, if people want to find you, what do they got to do?
Once again, you can reach out to our podcast site. It's fnf.podomatic.com. Or if you simply go to Facebook and look up Friendly Neighborhood Fanboys, you'll find the Facebook page for our radio show.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming back on. We'll definitely have you back on again to keep this party going. You are in the Creepy Hall of Fame, after all.
Yes. I'm still waiting for that certificate.
Yeah, the certificate's coming, but it does come with its privileges or punishments, depending on how you look at it. So you will be reviewing. You should be back to review another film.
Oh, I'll be looking forward to it.
Alrighty, thanks for coming on. Thanks once again to Adam Leonard for coming back on the show and helping me review the film. You, of course, can find his radio show in podcast form, Friendly Neighborhood Fanboys. I will have the link in the show notes for you. Before we get out of here, frequent contributor of the show, Miss Roxy Tart, has some information for us, direct from Disneyland.
Hey there, James. This is Roxy Tart, and I have a scoop for you for Creepy Kingdom. I am inside the Little Mermaid ride, and Ursula wants to say hi. Just wanted to send you a little shout out from Disneyland and the creepiest part of the Little Mermaid ride. Bye.
Yes, that is by far the creepiest part of that ride. It gets very dark really fast. Easily the best part of Little Mermaid attraction, in my opinion. You can hear more of Miss Roxy Tart on her podcast, Roxy's World, which you can find at roxy-tart.com. And if you can't get enough of me rambling on, you can check out my podcast, The Even James Has a Podcast, which you can find at theevenjamesisapodcast.com. And for show notes, videos, creepy Disney, cosplay, fan art pics, links to all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, Tumblr, and Pinterest, your one-stop shop is creepykingdom.com. And of course, you can always find our show in the iTunes store. You can subscribe there, and we're available on the Stitcher application for your smart telephone or tablet. Well, until next time,
Creepy, creepy.
I have to go now. It's midnight. Pleasant dreams.
Ha 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 ha